This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me at Joyce Goh and Tan Chung Han with the top business stories of the day. Celcom has reported its second quarter numbers, and despite the challenges facing the industry, it looks like the Axiata-owned telco is making a comeback.
Yes, Sharad. Although total revenue fell 3.6% to 1.62 billion ringgit, portfolio rationalization in Q2 helped increase their PATAMI, that's profit after tax amortization and minority interest, to 3.4% year-on-year to 331 million ringgit. So it's all about data now. Both data revenue and consumption grew by more than 20% on year. And Celcom's also looking to improve its LTE network coverage by year end. They're aiming for 85% LTE network population coverage. This is up from the current 75%. So to do that, they plan to spend about 1 billion ringgit.
Okay, we have Deputy CEO Osman Khan. He told BFM he's confident the company will be able to provide the best service to its subscribers despite the current economic downturn.
The industry is really at the stage where it's pretty much a basic necessity, if you like. So to an extent, we're less impacted by downturns. I think the key issue in the industry is really a lot of strong competition, but our view on is to really hold to our strategy. You know, not go and fight on price, but provide the best value, the best customer experience. So we're committed to keeping the experience and value to customers and not just cutting price for the sake of subscriber share.
That was Deputy CEO of Celcom's Osman Khan. He spoke to BFM yesterday.
Yeah, and in speaking about that customer experience, you know, going back to that 85% year-end target for their LTE network coverage, Joyce, that you mentioned earlier, that is still below the 86% that Digi claims to have right now. So they got, you know, still quite a ways to catch up. And this is Celcom that we're talking about here, okay? Now, also, you know, keeping in mind when we look at these results, right, Celcom is coming off a torrid year. 2016 was pretty much a disaster, okay? At least for Axiata's standpoint. Axiata, you know, their net profit fell by, check this out, 80% on year. 2.5 billion ringgit from 2015 down to just, you know, 500 million ringgit last year. And a big part of that was because of Celcom. Celcom in 2016 net profit fell 25% on year, below 1 billion ringgit. Revenue for the whole year also falling by almost 10% down to 6.6 billion ringgit. So, you know, judging by these latest numbers, you know, Celcom's revenue and profitability, you know, that seems to have rebounded, at least compared to the first quarter and certainly compared to 2016. But just to put all this into context, though, looking at some of the other indicators, though, they have actually lost ground.
Well, Han, I think the number of Celcom subscribers have fallen by over 3% compared to the first quarter. So that's falling below 10 million. And if you compare that with Maxis, they have 11.7 million subscribers and DG has more than 12 million subscribers. So it looks like Celcom still has some, you know, ways to catch up. If you go back to 2013 and 14, Celcom actually had the most number of subscribers here in Malaysia. But I think Celcom is quite unfazed by this drop in subscribers because they did say at the PC yesterday, the press conference yesterday, that they're looking at high-end subscribers. So the drop is from low-end ones. And the operator did note that they want to focus on revenue expansion. So they want to move up the value chain.
So in speaking about moving up that value chain, right, we got to look at ARPU, which is the average revenue per user, ARPU, okay? Essentially, that's how much revenue these telcos can extract from each user. So Celcom's blended ARPU, that's for both postpaid and prepaid, is at 44 ringgit. But if you're talking about moving up the value chain, though, how about this? You compare that with Maxis. Maxis's ARPUs for both postpaid, prepaid, still over 40% higher than Celcom. So again, Celcom certainly has their work cut out for them, not just in terms of improving their LTE network coverage, but also, you know, in trying to move up the value chain, get more money from their dwindling subscribers.
Now, Celcom's numbers came out just a few hours before the launch of the new iPhones. The launch saw what's being reported as the biggest redesign to the iPhone in a decade. Here's Apple's CEO Tim Cook unveiling the iPhone X at the new Steve Jobs Theater.
The first iPhone revolutionized a decade of technology and changed the world in the process. Now, 10 years later, it is only fitting that we are here in this place on this day to reveal a product that will set the path for technology for the next decade.
That was Apple CEO Tim Cook.
All right, so there were three iPhones launched to be exact. There was the iPhone 8, the iPhone 8 Plus, and the iPhone 10. Now, keep in mind, the 10 is actually written as an X, but it's verbalized as 10. Go figure, right? So price-wise, the 8 is going for $699, $799 for the 8 Plus, and an astounding $999 for the iPhone 10. Anybody wants to part with that kind of money?
Okay, so you know the Roman numeral 10 is actually written as an X, isn't it? So
yeah.
So not so inexplicable.
Yeah, but still, no.
Okay,
we're going to call it whatever we want.
Facial recognition technology. I think that's the exciting thing. No home button and your phone just looks at you. So what's that?
Yeah, I think the first models would be shipped out on November 3rd. The key features is like no home button, that's gone, replacing with an upward swipe from the bottom of the phone.
Which I believe the Samsung S8 has. Go on.
And then there's the death of the home button, which means the death of the touch button, the touch ID, and the birth of the face ID, which does what the name suggests. It unlocks the phone by just having you look at it.
And I think you can do the same thing with the S8 as well.
What if your face changes over time? I mean, some of us have gotten...
Face changes over time.
It does, right? It gets a bit fat around here. You might, you know, you might have facial hair which you take on and off.
Yeah,
I mean, the phone that sophisticated.
Man, tell me about it, man. The kind of weight gain I've had since I came, you know, here.
Oh,
I'm
being told that it's actually the eyes,
the windows
of
right.
To your soul, is, right?
Yeah.
So, and that doesn't change because your soul, if it's dark, it's dark.
And if it's empty,
right? Oh, retinal scan. I think they have a retinal scan thing going. Yeah, and they also have this wireless charging. That's
which Samsung
be
had with the Note 5. But yes, go on.
Okay, and it also has edge-to-edge display on to the Apple lineup, so the whole phone is a screen.
Okay, so I'm hearing from Mahania that this is not such a revolution and perhaps it's not going to change the world in the next 10 years. It might change somebody's world, but maybe not the world.
Well, certainly change your bank account balance there because, I mean, come on, $999, if you're taking today's exchange rate of, what, 4.2 to the US dollar? I mean, fine, we have to find out what the actual final pricing will be when it reaches Malaysian shores. But good God, though, can you imagine parting with 4.5 to 5K ringgit for a phone?
Yeah, you can buy a laptop with that.
You can buy, I don't know.
Maybe the world's 1%, they can afford that. Okay.
And that might be our producer in the studio as well, because he's due for an upgrade as well.
Okay. Speaking about changes and upgrades, we have follow-up to news yesterday on Plus Highway. The EPF and UEM have come out to say they have currently no intention to sell Plus stakes.
Yes, Sharad. I guess this was in response to the Edge Financial Daily story yesterday that printed that reported that Maju Holdings has made an offer to EPF and UEM Group to take over Highway Operators Plus Malaysia. And Plus Chairman Tan Sri Muhammad Sharif Muhammad Kasim confirmed to the Edge then that a letter of intent was sent by Maju and was received by him. So to recap, the UEM Group and EPF took over the assets and liabilities of Plus in 2011, and this was for a $23 billion deal.
I mean, it looks like highways or at least the infrastructure play that's very much in vogue in 2017 because you recall earlier this year, you got PNB, right? Permodalan Nasional Berhad. They announced their acquisition of Silk Highway for 380 million ringgit. So who knows? You know, this could be the second major local highway that could be involved in some kind of sale of sorts.
Okay, it's not just infrastructure here in Malaysia that's at stake. Even US infrastructure is becoming attractive, apparently, to investors. And it's going to involve, if our Prime Minister is to be believed, it's going to involve our retirement money, you know, EPF.
Yeah, so early this morning, Malaysian time, the Prime Minister announced that the EPF is going to invest $3 to $4 billion in US infrastructure. I mean, who knows? This is pure speculation here. Maybe that's reason enough for the EPF to sell or unlock value from its stake in Plus Highways. Although, to be fair, yes, the statement yesterday said that they have no intent, doing that deal. But, you know, you compare that statement with what the Prime Minister said. One highway to another. And I guess the question here is really, you know, as EPF members, Do you want a piece of that pie? Do you want a piece of that US infrastructure pie?
Well, as long as if the returns are good, why not? I mean, it all boils down to returns. Whether or not we see
returns. I mean, I think we should put this in context, right? He's going to the Prime Minister went to Washington. He's still there. He's trying to sell what he calls a value proposition to the Trump administration. And he's saying, we have something for you. Now, we know that Trump has an infrastructure component to his agenda. He hasn't moved on all the other. I mean, Obamacare is one thing, healthcare, and then because the tax reform issue still haven't, there's been no progress there. So when he gets to that infrastructure platform, is this where we are going to plug ourselves in? Or is this something that's just going to happen, you know, without regard to that Trump platform?
Yeah, I mean, very often when we talk about the Trump policy, at least his infrastructure spending plans, it is set to hit $1 trillion US dollars. So $3 to $4 billion US dollars, that's like, you know, a drop in the bucket compared to what it's supposed to be, at least the potential, right? Once again, we have heard from many of our Market Watch guests, you know, that this is the this is the investment play to be made at this point in time. You guys can certainly check out the podcast on our website for our Market Watch segment. I believe we had Joe Quinlan commenting on as much yesterday.
Okay, very quickly, Boeing was in the mix today because our Prime Minister said at the White House that Malaysia Airlines has agreed to buy 8 Boeings and 787s and 25 737s.
Yeah, and he also said there's a strong probability that they'll have 24, 25 more 737s in the future. So with this additional purchase, he said the deal will be worth $10 billion USD within 5 years.
I imagine this was negotiations that happened some time ago, right? It would have been something that came up just at the meeting.
That's right. I mean, Malaysia Airlines has been pondering this for a while now. In fact, I posed a question to Peter Bellew on the grill as well, and back then he was undecided. We'll see when the official announcement actually comes out.
Okay, we're coming up to the news, and after that, we have on the breakfast grill today, Alban Murthy, CEO of DG.com, Berhad, speaking to Han. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.